RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head on over to jayco.com.
And by the Thetford Corporation, the industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit thetford.com.
And by Cabela's. Cabela's has everything you need to get your family into the great outdoors. Visit Cabela's.com and make sure your next great camping trip is one for the record books.
And by Campgrounds of America. To find out what's behind the yellow sign, visit KOA.com or download the free KOA app today.
And by Go RVing. To discover how affordable an RV vacation can be for your family, head on over to GoRVing.com.
Everyone, welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are sharing an update on RVFTA's fundraising initiative for the Tents for Troops RV Loaner Program. Last fall, we announced our goal of raising $10,000 to purchase a travel trailer which would be permanently housed at a campground and available exclusively to active duty military.
Well, you all came through in a big way. On account of the generosity of RVFTA podcast listeners, we can now announce the awesome details of this charitable project. Stay tuned to hear about the rig being purchased and the campground where it will be located.
You might think that camping is just a fun way to pass a weekend, but we know that some time around the campfire can be a truly restorative experience for folks that serve our country. You are listening to episode 150, Tents for Troops and the Healing Power of the Campground.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, Tents for Troops and the Healing Power of the Campground, it's time for our RV News Minute, which is sponsored by Go RVing.
Have you signed up for Go RVing's monthly newsletter, No Reservations?
Yes.
That's always your answer, I know. We love its mix of bucket list locations, roadworthy recipes, contests, and how-to ideas for planning your own adventure.
No Reservations will also keep you up to date on the latest from Go RVing's incredibly talented and good-looking and inspirational team of bloggers.
Not us, I mean the other talented and
inspirational bloggers.
To sign up for No Reservations, head on over to GoRVing.com and scroll to the bottom of the page and click on newsletter. Find your way. Go RVing.
All right, now it's time for the RV News Minute, which is my favorite news segment on this podcast. And now we want to talk about KOA's care camps, and they've had a record year. And it's just kind of like keeping in touch with the theme of this whole podcast, which is some options for charitable giving within the world of RVing and camping. So,
absolutely.
Stephanie, give us the news on KOA's care camps this
year. Okay, so we supported Tents for Troops over the past year, but we have always also supported KOA's care camps weekend by camping at KOA's for this, their major fundraising.
And what you do is you pay for one night, and then the next night is $10, only $10. And then that money, that $10, goes directly to this Care Camps charity, which raises a lot of money.
And that weekend traditionally happens in May every spring. And this past weekend, this Care Camps weekend in 2017 set a new record for camper attendance, drawing 4% more camping families than the event brought to participate in KOAs in 2016. So the Care Camps Big Weekend, now in its 14th year, is the major fundraising event for KOA Care Camps. It's a network of 128 specialized week-long summer camps for children battling cancer and their siblings. So campers who stayed as paying guests at the 400 participating KOAs on Friday, May 12th, and also on May 13th, like Jeremy said, they pay the full amount for the Friday night, and then they get to stay Saturday night for $10. And then all of that money goes to support care camps, which sends these children free of charge to those camps that specialize
and these camps
in supporting
these specialized camps. I mean, they have people, they have nurses there, they have doctors there, they have people that are willing to, you know, there to help these kids have an incredible weekend.
Yeah. So here's a quote that we have from KOA President and CEO Pat Hittmeyer. It's gratifying to see our campers want to take part in helping these children in need, and they helped raise nearly $118,000 in a single weekend to help send as many children as possible to these wonderful camps. The cost to send each child to a care camp is nearly $2,000. So KOA and its campground owners raise funds throughout the year to help the charity, including having auctions, barbecues, and pancake
and
breakfast.
And this is a key right here, because that care camps weekend, that's not the only time they raise money. Many of the KOAs, if not most of the KOAs, raise money all year long. So, for instance, when we were at the Gettysburg KOA back in April, they had quote-unquote free coffee in the morning, but they asked for a donation to care camps. So I went in every morning and got us coffee, and I put some money in the jar for care camps. Other places we've been to, like the Brattleboro KOA in Vermont, they'll do like an ice cream social where all the money goes to care camps. So when you're camping with KOA this summer or anytime, keep your eye out for those small things they're doing to raise money for care camps and just put a couple bucks in the jar.
Yeah, it's a really great way to do good while you're camping. Now, I also want to point out that you can donate at any time at www.koacarecamps.org. So you can donate at the campground, but if this episode leaves you feeling especially charitable and you'd just like to, again, contribute something to what we're calling the healing power of the campground, because they're recognizing that same thing for, you know, kids that are sick, just like we're, you know, recognizing this as something that's really helpful to our active duty military.
That care camps and Tents for Troops, you know, which we're talking about this episode, are two of the best charities going in the world of camping and RVing.
Absolutely.
We all should be giving back and be, you know, just as a sign of gratitude for our active duty service people, for kids that are struggling through cancer, as just a way of showing thanks that, you know, we all get to go out and enjoy this big, beautiful country at these campgrounds.
Yeah. All right. Now, we are going to move on to the rest of our episode now. And the next segment, what we're going to do is that we are so excited to finally be able to share the success of our Tents for Troops RV Loaner Program fundraiser, where we aim to buy the very first RV for the RV Loaner Program that Tents for Troops has been trying to get off the ground. So we are happy to bring you this update. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment one of our big episode on Tents for Troops and the healing power of the campground. And we're going to tell you all about the RV that our community has purchased and where it's going to go. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford.
Thetford is an industry expert and innovation leader, and they have been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. When you select a Thetford toilet from the most complete line in the RV industry, you will have years of trouble-free use.
I've never had trouble with my Thetford toilet, both in the White Hawk and in the Toy Hauler.
I have trouble cleaning it.
It works every time. And let me tell you something. We abuse it. We have three little boys.
I don't want to be involved. I don't abuse the toilet.
It always works.
Right. Now, if you're thinking of upgrading to a more residential option, check out the Thetford University video on toilets, which is hysterical, on YouTube, or you can find it on their website, and it will teach you more than you ever thought you needed to know about your RV toilet options.
I want to learn more.
I've learned enough that now I know I feel like I want a porcelain toilet.
Do you really?
I kind of do. Okay. I want an upgrade.
Does that mean we're going to get a motorhome next year?
I don't know. No, we could get one of the Thetford ones and put it in our toy hauler. All right. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Tents for Troops in general for those of you who are just joining along and maybe aren't totally up to speed on this whole story about how the RVFTA community raised $10,000 this past winter for Tents for Troops. So, Stephanie, what is Tents for Troops?
All right, so Tents for Troops is an organization that allows campgrounds to show appreciation to active duty military in a very tangible way, offering a minimum of 2 nights of complimentary camping to service members and their families. Now, the participating campgrounds do not have to pay to be in this organization. It's a really great way that they can give back by not having to, like, you know, really give a lot, just 2 free nights of camping. So you can find any campground that participates, and there's hundreds of them. You can find that at tentsfortroops.org, and it'll say find participating locations. And if you click on that, you'll see a link. And if that campground, if there's a campground on that list that's near you and you're active duty, you can call that campground. You have to have military ID when you show up, but you call them and you'd say, I'd like, you know, to participate in your Tents for Troops program. I'd like to camp for free. And they will, you know, be able to give you available
dates. Set you
dates.
Up with the free tenting
exactly.
site. Now, the fine folks at Tents for Troops have wanted to expand this whole program and start an RV loaner program. And that's where you guys came in. That's where our community came in. So Stephanie and I decided back last September that we wanted to help Tents for Troops raise the money to buy the first RV for their RV loaner program. And we did it.
We did. We set our goal for $10,000.
You did it.
And you guys came through. Now, we reached that goal back in March. So now what we've been doing is the hard work of trying to figure out all the logistics. Because like we said, this is the first time it's happening, which is really exciting. Like, we're happy to be involved in getting a program. Because it's always true that once you've done something once, the second time, the third time is so much easier.
There are just questions about where are we buying the RV? Which RV are we buying? Which dealer are we working with? How about the insurance? How are we going to get it to the camper? Just the logistics have been taking a little while, but we've got it.
Okay, so now we want to share those logistics with you. So let's start with the rig.
So Stephanie and I picked out the perfect RV. Okay, we're so confident at that price point, you know, at that $10,000 price point. So we are purchasing the J-Flight SLX 174 BH. It is great for an active duty family because it has 2 bunk beds. It has a queen for mom and dad and a little dinette table, nice sized kitchen with some counter space, full bathroom, shower. Basically, it has everything that a larger RV has, just in a smaller package.
It does. So it'll be very comfortable for a family of 4. And we actually have friends with this rig. And for a long time, we're like, this is the perfect, affordable, entry-level travel trailer.
And our friends that own this one love it.
Yeah.
And that was a big motivator here because we've been inside this RV and we have friends who've been using theirs for a year.
But it's also able to sleep 5. So if a family has 3 kids, then we know that they'll be fine also in this. So we think it's a good choice for that. I also was particularly pleased with the fact that this trailer doesn't have a slide. And I actually think that that's a positive because to me, it cuts down on maintenance issues, right? Like the less moving parts, like a slide, you know, could have issues or whatever, leaks, whatever. If you have a camper without a slide, it just eliminates some things that could go wrong. So we like that with a trailer that's going to be.
I love everything about this little cutie. It has a nice sized awning. It has a stereo. It has everything the active duty family will need to just really enjoy an RV weekend at the campground.
And not a lot of bells and whistles that it won't need. Like, that's the point, right? You don't want a lot of moving parts that a family's going to be like, wait, how does this work? How do you do that? You know,
Good point.
Just easy for them to enjoy the trailer for a weekend and then go home feeling a little more refreshed, a little more relaxed, having spent some quality time together. So we're thrilled that we were able to acquire this rig for $10,000. And the reason why we were able to do that is because we know a great dealer.
So we contacted Whitehorse RV in Williamston, New Jersey, and that's our dealer. And we asked them if they would sell us this RV for $10,000. And it costs more than $10,000,
yeah.
Okay? I mean, they gave us a ridiculously good price on this rig.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Whitehorse has a great track record with us personally. We've bought 2 RVs through them, and we always recommend them to other people who are looking for a fair dealer and also a solid service department. You know, they come through on that angle too. So we are thrilled that they were able to just come through and be able to do this for us. We really appreciate their support on this. That trailer has an MSRP of about $16,000. And I literally said to them, I've got $10,000 out the door.
Yeah. And like, you know, we've seen this on the market and at RV shows, and Whitehorse gave us beyond a good deal. I mean, basically they contributed to this fundraiser.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Absolutely. So if you are in this area, that's another way that you can participate in this kind of, you know, event by then supporting businesses that contribute charitably to the camping experience.
So let's talk about another business
exactly.
that is contributing to this fundraiser in a major way, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Making a long-term commitment to the Tents for Troops RV loaner program. So Stephanie, which campground, where is our RV going?
The RV is going to be hanging out at the Loose Caboose Campground in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. And the owners of the Loose Caboose have been huge supporters of Tents for Troops for years. They go to to RV shows, they go to dealer conventions, and they promote this program to try to raise awareness and everything. This is not like, oh yeah, we want a trailer on our site to get active military members to come here. For them, this is a labor of love. They believe in this organization. They think it's a great cause, and they really support it with their time.
And only active duty families will be able to use this RV.
Right.
It's not like it's going to be rented during other times when active duty families are not there. It is reserved especially for them.
That was a big part of finding the perfect campground fit, was a campground has to be willing to say, this is reserved wholly for active duty military. This is not an opportunity for you to make money off of RVFDA's contributions.
No, along with Tents for Troops, we said no to other campgrounds who said, well, and they were very nice campgrounds, who said, we'll take the rig, but we'll rent it when there's not an active duty family in it. And we totally agreed with Tents for Troops. We wanted this exclusively for our active duty families.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, this campground, the Loose Caboose Campground in Lancaster, this is in the heart of, you may be familiar with Pennsylvania Dutch country. It's got the Amish culture around there. This is the perfect place for a weekend, a long weekend family getaway. It's got all of those kids activities and adult activities. And like, it's also three season, you know, in the spring, there's like the festivals and the farm stands open up. It's in the fall, you've got all the pumpkin patch stuff and everything. It's got, the old mill stream, is next to
Dutch Wonderland,
right? You're not far from Hershey. You're under an hour from Hershey.
Lots to do for families in this region.
Yeah. It's just a really good family destination. And the campground itself is just a sweet family campground.
So consider going and camping with them because they're supporting Tents for Troops.
Yes, absolutely. So they're going to take care of it. And now also, we're excited that this is within reach for us to get to very soon. We're going to work on setting up the details and we'll give them to you as soon as possible. But we are going to do a dedication of this trailer and we're going to broadcast on social media, like a Facebook Live.
And we should get some gifts and some little, like, you know, RV warming gifts.
That's another great thing about this organization is Charlie Curry, who is the head of the organization, he's stocking this trailer fully, you know, with all of the stuff that a family will need, plates, bowls, cups, you know, he wants to do all that so that really people show up and it's just like a little vacation, you know,
they have everything they need and they don't show up and go, oh my God, there's no toilet paper here. Whatever.
Exactly. And I really believe that the owners of the Loose Caboose Campground are going to take care of that like they would like a guest home.
And look, we're going to continue to share the story of Tents for Troops, continue to share the story of the RV loaner program. We'll take a breather. At some point, mm-hmm. I want to raise money and get them another one. Okay, we're going to give all you guys a little break.
And I'm also going to put up, I'm going to, you know, try to get in a little plaque that says, like, this trailer was, you know, donated with love from the RVFTA community, you know, so to give you all a little opportunity to say how much you wanted to share this experience with our, you know, military troops. So, again, thanks to everybody for participating. We're glad that we were finally able to share the game plan for the money that we raised, and we'll be looking in the next couple of weeks to be able to share it at its permanent location at the Loose Caboose
and
Campground.
We'll get some pictures up on Instagram.
Yep, we'll do it all on social.
Thank you again to every single one of you that donated. We had donations
$10.
From $5 to over $1,000, mm-hmm. and we mean it when we say it. We appreciate every single one of those donations the same. So from the bottom of our hearts, thank you very much.
Now, we have a little story to tell you, because the rest of this episode is going to be an interview with an RVFTA listener. And to understand this interview, you're going to have to go back to the beginning of March, when we had slowed down in our fundraising. You know, people had given, but we'd sort of like hit a point where, you know, we weren't really generating a lot. We needed a little bit.
We were stalled at around like $7,000 or something like that. I mean, it froze for a while.
Yeah. And so we were like, okay, we want to get there. And how are we going to get there? So as producers of the podcast, we had an idea, because we had received one of the most emotional letters that I've ever received in all of our time doing this. We had received from Tatiana Coffinger, a listener from New York State. And the letter was about why I don't want to tell you too much because you're going to hear about it in the interview, but the letter was about why she was donating to Tents for Troops. And it was just the most, I was in tears reading it. It was so sweet. And so I thought, you know what? I want to tell Tatiana's story about why she decided to donate and use that as an opportunity to create an episode that will generate interest again in people donating, right? So that was the plan, to have an episode in March where her, you know, interview would run. And then we'd say, okay, everybody, you know, get in there. Let's raise the rest of this money. Well, ironically, I did this interview with Tatiana, and I would say about a week later, we hit our goal. We didn't ever run the interview.
Also, we were at, I think we were at a little, like about $9,000. And somebody came in and wrote a check for over $1,000, and it brought us right to 10. So, which was so heartening, you know, so exciting.
Wow. So. It was shocking. I thought I was reading the email wrong. I was like, oh, what? We made it.
I think we had $2,000 plus donations. Yeah. And both times we were like, oh, I hope it wasn't a mistake.
I
hope somebody wasn't trying to give 100 and they added a zero to it.
There was a lot of times where I got all teary-eyed.
You know who you are if you gave us the 1,000. Yeah. Those were pretty exciting.
So, anyway, that happened. And I was like, okay, well, now we can't run an episode on getting more donations. We have to wait and run an episode on what we're doing with the donations. So it was kind of awkward because I had this amazing interview with Tatiana, but I couldn't run it because our programming switched.
Well, let's get it out of the can
and
run it.
So we decided, even though there's going to be some things said in this interview that don't make sense, because we're trying to, it sounds in the interview like we're trying to get people to donate to the Tents for Troops, I want you to understand that we're running this interview because Tatiana has a fantastic story. It, you know, worked my heartstrings, and I really wanted to share it with all of you. So here we go. Well, Tatiana, thank you so much for coming onto the show to talk a little bit about your experience and your history with camping and RVing. Your story touched me in a way that not many stories have before. So I just want to say thank you for sharing it with me.
Well, thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate it. I feel like I've gotten to know you and Jeremy over the last year plus that I've been listening to the podcast. So of course I'd like to share, you know, what influenced me in some of our decision making.
Yeah. So Jeremy and I talk a lot about newbies that listen to our show. I think we reference those people. We say, oh, we know we have a lot of listeners that maybe don't own RVs yet or dreaming about it or just started. But we have another segment of listeners that have a heck of a lot more experience with camping than we do. To be honest, I'm kind of honored that you actually get through our show every week with all of your camping experience.
Well, it's entertaining. Sometimes, you know, my husband and I will look back and say, oh, we remember when we were like that, or, oh, they don't even know what's coming yet next. And but we still manage to learn things from you, and spend lots of money because of you. But other than that, it's been entertaining, and you've kind of broadened our horizons in many ways.
Yeah, well, you've been such an active participant of the community on social media. You know, when we were on our forum, now on the Facebook group, you really chime in and offer your expertise for a lot of other campers, and we appreciate it. But you sent me an email a couple of months ago, and I knew your name very well because, like I said, you're so supportive on all of our social media platforms and really always giving that advice to newbies. But this email told your backstory for me, and it really gave me such insight into your journey as a camper and an RVer and how that is impacted by the rest of your life. And so I just asked you to come on and kind of share a little bit about that story with the rest of our listeners, because if it touched me so much, I knew it would touch them also. So I'm glad that you agreed to do that. You ready?
Yes, by all means.
Yeah.
Well, the backstory starts many, many decades ago. I'll even give you more than I gave you in the email. I did some camping as a kid. My father bought a very plain Apache pop-up camper that had two beds and a table. There wasn't a kitchen. There wasn't storage. It was very bare bones. And he brought us to Cape Cod, and we camped in it, and we camped in the Adirondacks. And then from there, when our family outgrew the size of the Apache, we used to use it for extra sleeping quarters. But, you know, I went to Girl Scout camp, and camping was a big part of my childhood. Similarly, my husband grew up way more in the camping universe than even I did. His parents, my husband is the only boy. He has three older sisters, and the youngest sister is 5 years older than my husband. But the three girls were all born within 2.5 years, so they were just right after each other. And after my husband was born, I guess that, you know, his parents decided they needed to vacation a little bit with their brood of four, and they bought a pop-up camper. And I was amazed when I heard their camping tales, because they used to take the camper and go to a state park near their house for the summer. And it's long before Reserve America, long before the rules that the state has for campgrounds, state campgrounds now. But they would just park this camper at the state park, and my father-in-law used to go to work every day from that camper, and my mother-in-law had four little kids under the age of, you know, like six at that point, seven maybe, and they spent the summer camping. And when they weren't at that state park, they came up to the Adirondacks and used to camp at Racket Lake at the Golden Beach State Campground, and, you know, they went other places in the Adirondacks. And from time to time, when they didn't have a camping reservation, when the kids were little, they actually parked at a rest area that was around the corner from their house. It was like maybe 5 minutes away.
In the pop-up.
In the pop-up. And they pulled up. They parked. It's great. The rest area is still there. And it's, every time I drive by it, I kind of laugh to myself, because it's just like this grassy area to pull off. It's along the Hudson River. And they'd camp for a weekend. They would just pull it, pop up there, open it up. The kids would play out in the grass, and they'd camp. And apparently no one thought this was odd. And this is just how things were done in the 70s. So
a lot of things happened in the 70s.
Older, a lot of things happened in the 70s, exactly. As the kids got older, they, you know, this was a summertime routine. Is they used that pop-up, and they used it a lot. When the kids got to be in their teen years, my in-laws, they left the kids behind, and they got a pup tent, and they had a motorcycle, and they would go camping with that. They'd go up in Maine and to New Jersey and out to Ohio, and camping was just a very big part of their life. So when my husband and I met, my husband Jay, and I met when we first started dating, he's like, let's go camping. And I'm like, really? I haven't camped in a long time. I used to camp a lot as a kid, but I, you know, didn't really camp in my teen years and my early 20s. It just, there was just never an opportunity. So I thought, oh, this would be interesting. And I started camping with my husband, he was my boyfriend at the time, and his family. And it was like a family event, because the kids were raised to go camping. So then with their families, they all had campers and they all went camping. So when we went, it was us and at least one of his sisters and her children, or maybe two of the sisters and their children. And it just kind of grew from there. So it just became a thing that we did. And we did it, and it was always very interesting. Stories of bears and screech owls and, you know, floods, and just a great, great story to tell even 20-something years later.
And it sounds like it was just woven into the fabric of your relationship, right? Like, this isn't something that you could even trace the roots of, because, like, he grew up doing it, and from the early stages of your relationship, he was like, let's go camping. So it's just been a part of your identity as a couple, it sounds like.
Absolutely. The first major purchase we had together was a canoe that we bought from Dick's Sporting Goods that we actually had to put on layaway because we didn't have any money, because we were in our early 20s and broke. And we had this tent that he had purchased, I think, for money he got for some holiday or graduation or something. And we had nothing other than our camping supplies and packed it in his Buick. And we went up to the mountain. We had the canoe that we bought on layaway on top of this Buick. And it's looking back now, we've come so far. But it was definitely woven into our identity. And back then, we couldn't make reservations until like January. And so every January, we would huddle together with his sisters and try to figure out where we were going to go and when we were going to go and make our reservations. It was before Reserve America came into existence. So we had to, you know, call on January 1st was the time. We had to call at 9 o'clock in the morning. And it was just what we did. And, it was a lot of fun. And so as we, you know, after we got married, we said, you know, we're getting kind of tired of being cold and wet from sleeping around. So we said, we got to invest in a camper. And so someone had a camper that was abandoned on their property, and they didn't have a title for it. They didn't have a registration for it, but they sold it to us for $200. And it was this little pop-up camper, and it was awful. But we fixed it up, and we got a homemade trailer registration for it, and we took this thing camping, and it was so awful. It made us look for more campers, and we wound up getting another camper that was hard-sided and leaked like a sieve, and that was a $500 bail payment someone had gotten, and it was just, you know, it was awful, and it smelled funny, and we couldn't use the bathroom, and it was inhabited by bees and mice, and but somehow we fixed it up and we made it work, and we just kept, you know, striving to make it a little bit better. Even though it leaked, if you put a tarp over it, you wouldn't get as wet as if you were on the ground. So this was all very positive. So it made us, as we were, you know, progressing in our careers, and I went to law school, and I graduated from law school, and, you know, I started actually making money, and we weren't living on ramen noodles anymore. And we thought, you know, we can really broaden our horizons. We can buy a real camper. And so we bought our first brand new travel trailer. It didn't have any slides. It was a Sunline. It was a 2001. And we loved this thing. I fell in love with it. I would just go sit in it in our driveway because it was just that much fun. And the first major trip we took with that camper, we went with my in-laws. Because by now, they had purchased a fifth wheel. And they had purchased that fifth wheel in anticipation of retirement. And they were going to retire and travel. And they did. For 10 years, they traveled to Florida every winter. Because up here in New York, you want to get out of here as soon as you can. So they used to leave every year. It got earlier and earlier. It used to be around Thanksgiving and then eventually moved up to like mid-October. Just as the first snowflakes started to fly up here, they headed south. And but when we got our brand new camper, we took a big trip out to Cape Cod. I knew we had found what we needed as a family. And from there on, they wound up getting an even bigger fifth wheel. This thing was huge. It was like a house with axles under it. That they bought at Lazy Days down in Florida, which you're familiar with now.
Yeah, one of our favorite places now.
absolutely. And they talked about it like it was going to Disney World itself. Yeah. You know, it was a huge place. And they bought this great fifth wheel. And they would meet us in Myrtle Beach often. We would drag our camper down to meet them. And my couple of my sister-in-laws, some of the cousins in the family had also had RVs, or they would rent the trailers, and we would all meet in Myrtle Beach. And sometimes there would be, you know, 6-7 different families that would all camp together. This was just the thing. This is what we did. And sometimes there was camping trips up here in the Adirondacks, actually fairly local to where we lived. It was just what the family did. And it was, I guess, I didn't realize that other families outside of ours didn't understand our preoccupation with planning our summers, you know, a year in advance sometimes. And
Yeah, there's a lot, Tatiana, no, there's a lot of people out there that have no idea what you're talking about, right? And, well, and Jeremy and I weren't raised like that either. So neither of our families really understand what we do, you know, and really understand why we do it and why we seem so obsessed about it. It is kind of an in-culture thing.
It's really obsessive. You think... When you're not camping, you're thinking about camping. And when you're camping, you're thinking about your next trip.
Yeah. And everybody sits around the campfire when we camp with friends. Everybody is constantly talking about campgrounds, like other ones. Like, have you been here? Oh, no, we have to get to that one. Oh, when can you go here? It's trip planning, like, all the time.
It is. It's constantly. Especially if you – it's one thing with you and your immediate family. You know, just the people in your household are going. Because you can plan it whenever you want. But when you start coordinating with other people, because people have to get time off from work. If you're going to get sites, you want to have sites somewhat close to each other. So then you have to coordinate and get everyone together so that they can all do their reservations at the same time. And how are we going to get there? And which route are we going to take? And who's cooking? What? I mean, it's just, it's an all-encompassing project. And I love it.
Yeah.
And it got to be, you know, it's an addiction. It got to be so much. I mean, we would have planning meetings. It was hysterical. And, of course, they would just devolve into a lot of, you know, storytelling from the days, you know, way back before you could just – before you had to make reservations, when you just showed up at the campground and hoped for the best. And, you know, even now, we can't even imagine what that's like.
Right.
And
it's hard.
It's, you know, back when we first started, it was not site specific at the state campground. So we would spend hours, sometimes days, trying to figure out how to get the sites we wanted. We'd have a walkie-talkie system, and one person would show up at the campground, and they would go see what sites were open, and they would use the walkie-talkie to the person standing at the gate to tell them what sites that we want. I mean, this was very complicated stuff that we did.
You had your systems down.
Oh, yeah. We had maps, and we had certain sites listed for different things, and we knew this one, if it was going to be rainy, this one, you know, has good drainage, but this one has a lot of sun if it's going to be sunny out, but maybe we didn't want that much sun. So it was very complicated. It's not as complicated now as... kind of missing part of that.
Right. But, so in other words, you kind of, that's always how the good old days, Tatiana, we'll call it the good old days.
It was definitely the good old days.
You know, you've done such a great job of painting the picture of sort of the foundation of your camping life and just of this camping like relationship that you had with both your husband, your immediate family, your extended family. But let's fast forward a little bit because, you know, when you wrote me the email, you were telling me about a more recent time where, you know, it wasn't the good old days anymore. And your in-laws had passed away and things had kind of changed a bit in your life. And things weren't feeling so, you know, romantic and wonderful and camp-like anymore.
Things were not good around the campfire. We went through a very rough period. And that, you know, I guess is part of the ebb and flow of life. But my mother-in-law had been diagnosed in July of 2015, and she was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease, with ALS. And looking back, she probably had it for years, and no one realized what it was. We just thought it was the normal aging process, maybe dementia. But she was diagnosed in July of 2015, and actually it was the same week as we picked up our latest new camper, and she was diagnosed because she was starting to lose the ability to walk, and unfortunately, she couldn't even walk up the three steps to get into our camper, so I remember her standing there looking in the doors of our camper, and she was admiring the outdoor kitchen. You know, she said, oh, this is great, and she said, I can't wait to get better so that we can go camping again, because they had stopped doing the trips to Florida in the winter. They were staying with us. We had built an in-law apartment for them, and they had parked their fifth wheel and with the hopes of going again, and it didn't happen. And unfortunately, the ALS really progressed quickly. My mother-in-law was in a wheelchair by September. She was unable to use her hands by Thanksgiving. She lost the ability to speak in January of 2016, and she passed away in March. And during that time, it was just, that was all-encompassing. You know, her care was, it was everything that we were focused on. But because of that, we were also trying to slide in a few camping trips, you know, and especially in the fall of 2015, just to give my husband a break, because it was very difficult to watch his mom just dying in this most slow and painful way. And in the fall of 2015, I also found out that I was losing my job. And then it was a roller coaster of up and down of, you know, can I work here? Can I work there? And I work for the state. And those jobs, what I do is very, there are very few of those positions. And so then trying to find something that would be commensurate and thinking, we just plunked down a lot of money and we have this huge payment on a camper that we may never be able to use again. We're going to have to sell this. And it was just devastating. And then the final couple of months of my mother-in-law's life, I had gotten a job literally 2 days before Christmas. So that was my Christmas present, knowing that I was actually going to have a job. It was going to be at the same rate. I was going to be okay. So professionally, I was okay. Financially, we were going to be okay. But here is my mother-in-law now unable to communicate, basically lying in a hospital bed in her living room. And we couldn't really think about anything past that day. But the job that I then got was about an hour and a half from home. And so I spent a lot of time in the car. And I could only listen to so much NPR in the morning. I could only listen to so much talk shows. I found the RVFTA podcast. And I started listening. And I really listened quickly to a lot of episodes because I had a lot of time in the car. And I started burning through, like, all the past, you know, I don't even remember how many. It had to be, like, at least 60 episodes. I burned through those, like, in a couple weeks. And I started talking about it, and I said to my husband, you know, we really got to get on this camping thing for the summer. And I said, yeah, Stephanie and Jeremy, this is what they're talking about. This is what they're saying. And, you know, we gotta start making some phone calls. And it started to be an opening of a tunnel. Because it was so dark in so many ways in our lives. But I'm like, then there's camping. We've got camping. We got to keep camping. We can't not camp. Because your mother's dying, we've got to start making some reservations. And so it was like February, and I was totally caught up with the RVFTA, you know, podcast, and couldn't wait for every Friday to come out. Like, this is the longest week ever. And I was making reservations, and I was making reservations for like every other week and all over the place. Because I needed that. That was giving me that purpose of the planning and the need to pass on this tradition. And we went camping. Well, we were camping everywhere. And we even got my father-in-law to go with us. In one of our trips, we went to Syracuse. We went to an air show, and we stayed at a state campground nearby. And we were so excited because my father-in-law got to go with us, and he got to stay in the camper. And you know, kind of got him excited about, like, these were good times in our life. And it's really what, you know, is a big part of the history of my father-in-law's life, you know, raising his kids. And now he was camping with his grandkids. And it was what my husband had grown up with. And we had just come full circle. And it was kind of, I guess it was healing. It was healing in many ways to be able to enjoy what, you know, my mother-in-law would have loved to have been part of and had been in many respects.
Well, I thought that I had read this email enough times that I'd be able to hold it together when you were, you know, telling that story again. But I'm sitting here as teary as I was the first time I read your email. Because it was, like I said, it's just such an honor to know that, you know, that we can inspire one another to, you know, find that healing in camping and RVing. It might sound silly to people who don't understand, right? It might be to somebody who's never had that experience. It might be like, it's camping, guys, calm down, you know? But to somebody who has experienced how that can transform a place where you're at. And, you know, I just want to say that when Jeremy and I talk about where we were at as new parents of twin boys, it's very much that tunnel. Like, we felt like we were in a tunnel and we didn't know how to get out. You know, it was like, this can't be life for us. It was very hard for us. And we joke about that, but it was a very serious thing. We needed to find a way, you know, to be parents in a joyful way. And that's what, you know, camping did for us too. So, you know, on a very emotional level, I can relate to that experience of feeling like reborn in a way by that camping experience. Now, that was not the end of your email. The reason why you were writing to me was because you had decided to make a donation to Tents for Troops for a very specific reason. So do you just want to tell everybody about that?
I do. When my mother-in-law passed away, it was we had sat vigil by her bedside for 5 days and five nights. It was a very laborious death. You know, every breath that she took was a struggle, and she was surrounded by her family. And it just worked out in such a way that we were all able to be there. And because of that, I missed a week of work. And luckily at that time, everyone was very understanding, like I was not going to be, I had to be there, and I had to be there for my husband. I had to be there for my mother-in-law and the rest of my family. And I had to be there for myself. And unbeknownst to me, while I was out, they took up a collection, and they weren't sure if flowers were really appropriate to send. They didn't want to go ahead and make a donation in her behalf, not knowing where to go. And so they presented me with this when I returned to work, you know, a week or two later, with this envelope full of cash. And, you know, the office that I worked in wasn't huge. I mean, I think there's probably less than 10 people. And here was this big envelope of cash. And they said, please take this and donate this to the charity that represents your mother-in-law. And I took it. It was, you know, very gracious. And I thought, what am I going to give this to? Do I give it to the ALS Center that had, you know, helped us tremendously in the, you know, 8 months that we knew that she had ALS? Do I give it to the church that she was, you know, a proud member of? Do we give it to the Ronald McDonald House? Because our family throughout the years had donated to the Ronald McDonald House, because when my children were born, they both had medical issues, and we used the Ronald McDonald House. And so for years, at Christmas time, we would always give a big donation. A lot of money has been given to the Ronald McDonald House. And I thought, well, that might be a nice tribute too. But it just, none of those just screamed, yes, give that money. And so I had an envelope full of money at home on my desk. And I thought, I'm waiting for, I don't know, divine intervention or my mother-in-law to speak to me in some way. And it sounds weird, but I was just waiting for the right opportunity to give this money. And then fast forward a couple months, I hear the Tents for Troops thing. And I thought, you know, that's great. My father-in-law was in the Air Force. My father was in the Navy. My husband's family, I think almost all the males other than my husband, were in some branch of the military. Military life is very big to us. And my mother-in-law, she was very patriotic, very supportive of all military causes. You know, whenever something came up, she was right there to donate her time or donate her money. When her nephews were in various branches, she was always there and very proud. And I got thinking, like, you know, hey, this is the marriage of two very important things, not only to me and my life, but more importantly, to my mother-in-law. And I thought, if she were alive and heard about this Tents for Troops program, and the camper, I could hear her saying, John, we've got to donate something. she'd probably be willing to donate her camper. I mean, she was just like that supportive. And I thought, what better tribute to my mother-in-law than to make this donation? And it just came to me one day and I said, I got to do this. And so I did. And then I thought, you know, other people need to think deep into their souls and how they feel about it. And so that's why I sent you the email and said, you know, this is a very important part of the heritage that we have in our family for not only camping, but supporting our troops. And what a great combination and a tribute to my mother-in-law, who would have been so, so proud to even hear about this project.
Oh, and I'm sure she is proud. And, you know, in your email, you said, I wanted to offer you a little encouragement, you know, on days that you know, just might be a little down about recording the podcast and everything. And I just want to tell you that when you take the time to do something like that and to tell stories like this, it's far more than just a little bit of encouragement. It is truly inspirational. I really thought I'd be able to hold it together. I'm having trouble right now. I'm tearing.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is such a special story. And I feel RVFTA, me and Jeremy, we're so honored that we're a part of this story now through that gift. And we're almost there, you know, we're so close to having that money and getting that trailer. And we know that the RVFTA community that's touched our lives so much is now going to be able to touch like countless of families' lives. Like, think about how many different military families could be touched by spending a weekend in a camper and experiencing that healing that you're talking about that camping can bring. And we just really have that vision in our hearts for this project. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being involved. And I also want to thank all of our other listeners. You know, we've gotten stories like people comment when they make the donation, they'll say, this is, you know, in honor of this person or that person or, you know, somebody that served. And there's a lot of people that have donated in the memory of somebody that has been special in their life. And we're really thrilled that we're getting to collect those memories and in the form of a camper. So, Tatiana, thank you for being involved in that.
Well, thank you, Stephanie, and to Jeremy for spearheading such a great project that I know from personal experience that going camping can restore the soul in so many ways. And you know, our military families give up so much. This will be a great blessing to them, I'm sure.
All right. Well, Tatiana, and I also want to say again, thank you for helping so many people with all of your camping expertise in our community. I appreciate your time on the Facebook group and on the forum and everything. And I know that you've touched a lot of other lives. So happy camping.
Wow. Thank you. And I'll see you at the campground.
I'll see you at the campground. Welcome back to the show, everybody. And a big, huge thank you to Tatiana for coming onto the show and for doing that interview. And also thank her for being patient when I sat on the interview for about 4 months until
Stephanie literally sat on it. She kept it warm.
All right. Now we have a news roundup to run, but first we want to thank our sponsor, Cabela's.
Cabela's has everything your family needs to get into the great outdoors and camp in comfort. Now, we have a lot of listeners that don't have RVs yet. That is not a reason not to experience all the benefits of camping with your family. We actually went tent camping with all the newly redesigned tenting equipment from Cabela's, and we talked about the whole experience back on episode 139, which I loved that episode. It got a lot of great feedback. Check it out if you are thinking about giving your kids even more great adventures. Cabela's, it's in your nature.
All right. And speaking of Cabela's, we also want to remind you that we are going to the grand opening of a Cabela's store in Albuquerque, New Mexico on September 23rd and 24th. So
we'll
if you're in that area.
We'll show you all the cool Cabela's gear that we love so much and the stuff that we use in the RV. And we would love to just say hello to any of our New Mexico listeners. And we do have listeners in all 50 states.
They say that.
And Europe and some other weird places too.
Don't say weird places.
No. It's, you're not
weird. You're not weird.
They're not weird places. It's just somewhat it's, weird to me.
It's unusual. Yeah. We find it.
But it's not. Because camping and RVing, it's like a universal language of love.
You can't dig yourself out of this. All right.
I think I just did.
All right. Now, another big announcement for the news roundup. This is very exciting. We are going to be attending the Jayco Dealer Homecoming from August 21st to 23rd, which is in Nashville, Tennessee. Now, this is not open to the public.
And it's during the solar eclipse. accidentally. And Nashville's like the best city in America to see it from.
One of them. Yeah, it's in the path of totalitarian
regime. Stephanie, what are you talking about?
The path of totality. For the solar eclipse. I just couldn't get the word. Okay. So we are going to be there during that. But listen, it's not open to the public, but there's a reason why we're telling you, okay? If you tune in, we are going to be sharing so much content. Facebook Live, lots
and
of social
all
media.
All the 2018s will be there in the Jayco lineup. So we'll give you a sneak peek and sometimes even maybe a first look of some of the great new models coming out. So stay tuned and keep your eye out on all our social media channels for that. And we'll be doing a whole podcast about the show.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's going to be a lot of content that comes out of that. And that's exciting for us to go down there and to see all the
And on
stuff.
The show that we do about it, we're also going without the kids and we're going to get to spend a little time in Nashville.
Yeah.
So we'll share our experiences in Nashville.
We're going to do some Nashville content.
Very excited.
Very exciting. Okay. And last save the date, the Hershey RV show is this September 13th through 17th. Okay. In Hershey, PA. And we don't have all the details about when we'll be there or where we'll be there to share with you. But we'll be there. So definitely put it on your calendar. If you are in the Northeast, this is a great RV show. It's earlier in the season than a lot of RV shows. So it really can give you that jump start on sort of shopping.
And
if you're one of our dreamers.
It's the premier show in the Northeast.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Absolutely.
People,
so put it on your
calendar.
People
come from hours and hours away. All right. We'll see you at the RV show.
We'll see you at the RV show. I'm going to see you at the Loose Caboose
Let's
campground.
Let's see y'all at the Loose Caboose.
Love the Loose Caboose campground. All right, everybody. Take care.
Take care.